In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
and do forgive the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Let not my enemies exalt.
God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength, but By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the fjord at Jacob. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is in the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses.
Consider my affliction and my trouble, and
the epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know that what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in that manner, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Look at all my deeds.
to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Canaanite woman's story is among the greatest examples of faith, of what true faith looks like, in the entire Bible. In fact, it may be the greatest example of all. She is an outsider. She doesn't have the right ethnicity. She is a lowly Canaanite, a descendant of the pagan peoples who were the enemies of God's people, Israel. And Jesus treats her as such. He ignores her at first. Then he addresses his disciples, telling them that he was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and implying in that, not to her. Then, to top all that off, he calls this woman a dog. But she has faith. She will not be deterred. She is like Jacob wrestling with the Lord, refusing to let go of him until he receives a blessing. She cries out for mercy and help for her daughter, and when she is shot down by the only one who can provide it for her, she keeps after him. Her faith is evidenced by her persistence, to be sure. But the greatness of her faith is found in her response to being called a dog by Jesus. For she says, maybe the most marvelous words in all of Scripture, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Dear friends, that is faith. It shows itself forth in sincere repentance. There is no faith without repentance. The cry of faith is not, "Lord, I'm a decent enough person. Give me what I need." Neither is the cry of faith, "Lord, I know you say that what I'm doing is sinful, but this is just who I am, so you'll just have to accept me how I am." No. The cry of faith is, "Lord, have mercy. I don't deserve anything from you. I am a dog. I am a poor, miserable sinner. You owe me nothing. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'll settle for the crumbs that fall from your table, for you are my only hope." That is faith. It shows itself forth in sincere repentance, but it does something else too. It holds God to his word, even in the midst of suffering and sorrow, especially in the midst of suffering and sorrow. Faith won't let go of God's word. Faith clings to it like Jacob clung to the divine man, like the Canaanite woman clung to Jesus. They both wrestle with God and won't let him go until he keeps his word to forgive and bless them. That's faith. And St. Paul provides a good exercise for your faith this morning in the epistle you heard. He writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you ought to live a God-pleasing life, that the will of God is your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality in thought, word, and deed, that you control your bodies in holiness and honor, that you don't wrong your brother in these things, that God has not called you for impurity, but in holiness. How shall you respond to these things? The self-righteous response is, "Thank you, St. Paul, for describing exactly how I live. This describes my life to a T. Aren't I special? God must love me something fierce. I thank him that I am not like those other people who are sexually immoral, you know, like prostitutes and adulterers and deviants." The self-righteous response is a lie. It's the same response that those liars, the Pharisees, had whenever Jesus confronted them with his law. It's a lie which fails to recognize that what is demanded here is perfect obedience, not some lowest common denominator you can cling to by comparison to others. The faithful response is, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a poor, miserable sinner. I have not lived as I ought. I have lusted in my heart. I have not been pure and holy. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." Learn to pray like the psalmists pray. In other words, dear friends, repent. That is the faithful response. It is the honest response, born of honest self-examination. A humble and contrite spirit the Lord does not despise, but the haughty and self-confident, the self-righteous, he turns away. You have not kept God's law. You have not lived as you ought. Admit it. Confess it. Repent. But then believe, dear friends. For that too is the faithful response. Cling to God's word. For his law is not the only word spoken to you. There is gospel. Hold him to his promises and don't let go. For while it is true that you have not kept God's law and lived as you ought, and this is only one of the commandments St. Paul is putting before you today, we could put all the rest of them before you and the same would be true. While it is true that you have not kept God's law and lived as you ought, the one who wrestled with Jacob and called the Canaanite woman a dog has. It's why our Lord Jesus Christ came in our flesh to live and to please God, to fulfill the will of God, your sanctification. Jesus lived the perfect, sinless life you failed to live. He fulfilled every last jot and tittle of God's holy law, not only with his perfect life, but also with his sacrificial death on the cross. He was mocked and beaten and spit upon and pierced with nails to die the death you deserve. He is your substitute, your atonement, your advocate, your propitiation, your salvation. He dies so that you may live. He pays the full price of your sins so that you are forgiven and go free. He endures hell and is forsaken by his Father so that you might inherit heaven and be eternally not forsaken. He is your only hope. He is your only Savior. Cling to him. Don't let him go. Learn to say, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. It's true. I have not lived as I ought. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. I do not deserve a thing from you. You have every right to reject me. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table, and you have promised to save me. You have promised that you will not reject me. Forgive me. Give me faith. Let me endure." That is faith. That is repentance. That is holding God to his word. This second Sunday in Lent is often referred to as Remember Sunday. For we are called upon today to remember two things. First, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And second, that Jesus Christ is the Savior we need. He came to save sinners. He came to call the sick, not the righteous. We hold God to his word by calling upon him to remember his promises to us that while we are sinners, Jesus has saved us. But the second Sunday in Lent could also be referred to as Wrestling Sunday, for we see in the examples of Jacob and the Canaanite woman that faith is not easy and light, but often painful and heavy. In fact, as is typical with our Lord, whose ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts, things are backwards in his kingdom. Faith is strongest when we are weakest. Faith strives with God, and that striving often leaves you with a limp. The idea is so prevalent among us today that Christianity is supposed to be full of immense blessings in the health, wealth, and prosperity departments is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You will not find that teaching anywhere in Scripture. The Christian life, rather, is a life of struggle. It's full of sorrow and suffering, perhaps even more so than those who are not Christians, precisely because we know that we're sinners, and we live in a sinful world with other sinners, and sorrow and suffering comes our way. It is a painful endeavor to strive to live according to the will of God in a world so diametrically opposed to him and his will, and wrapped in flesh that is also likewise opposed. So we Christians limp through the wilderness of this veil of tears like Jacob, full of sorrow and suffering at what we must endure. But we rejoice too. For we rejoice that in that sorrow and suffering, we know that this world is not all there is. We are brought to our knees to beg for grace and mercy, and that is good, for it leads us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is always gracious and merciful to us. He is our good shepherd. As we wend our way through the valley of this shadow of death, he leads us to the still waters of the baptismal font and restores our souls. He guides us by the staff and the rod of his word, and he feeds us upon the very body and blood he gave and shed for us on the cross at the table he prepares for us in the midst of our enemies. And we cling to his promise that he will bring us safely home, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come then, O redeemed sinner, O Christian, to the table of your Lord, and feast upon your forgiveness, life, and salvation. For though you do deserve a dog's portion of crumbs, Jesus gives you so much more, himself. For he doesn't any longer call you a dog, but he calls you a brother, a sister, fellow heirs with him of the inheritance that has been prepared for all who love God since before the foundation of the world was laid. Come to the table that he might purify you, his temple, as you continue to struggle to live as you ought as Christians, striving against your sins and seeking to control your bodies, always coming back to the table where your Lord strengthens and preserves you again and again. For the greatest mystery of the faith, the greatest mystery of all, is that our Lord Jesus Christ has not forsaken us, but deigns to dwell in our midst, to even give us his very life in the sacrament. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. And the Lord responds, I do. Take, eat. Take, drink. Do this in remembrance of me. You are saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to Him. Almighty Father, let Your Word continue to be preached in its fullness among us, and grant us grace to submit to its accusing and killing law, so we receive and believe the sweet, forgiving, and resurrecting gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of heaven and earth, sin has caused our bodies and minds to be crippled and weakened. In Your mercy, be with those who seek to overcome the all-consuming war with addiction. Provide family, friends, and professionals to love and treat our neighbors, and be lights of Your mercy to hurting minds and hearts. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As a loving Father, You call us to live lives of holiness and faith in Your wise providence. In our ongoing struggle against unbelief and doubt, discipline us as Your dear children, that we learn to know and trust Your forgiveness and unfailing love. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, You are the great physician of both body and soul. You chasten and You heal. According to Your gracious will, provide healing and health to those suffering in body and mind, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, Maxine Isaacson, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, Tyler Duvall, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, Jack Standen, Jane Tennant, John Lemmerman, Betty Gruder, Brandy Bradley, Mary Kittle, and Pastor Joseph Schultz. If it be Your will that they remain under their cross, give them grace sufficient to endure in peace and hope of the glory to come in the resurrection of the last day. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, You alone make the decisions concerning life and death. We ask You to show mercy to Your dear child and servant, Marlene Wiltshire, whose death seems imminent. According to Your will and in Your time, dispatch Your holy angel to gather her up and bring her to Your loving arms, keeping her in her baptismal grace and in Your abiding care until that hour. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father, as we continue our spiritual journey to the cross and resurrection this Lenten tide, abide with us here and now. Keep before us the certainty of our own death, helping us to confess and forsake our sins, and to rejoice that your Son, Jesus Christ, carried the weight of all sin to the cross for us. Remind us in the midst of death that we are in him who is life eternal. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray you be the companion of the lonely and the mourning. Strengthen them and us through your promise that those who loved and served you on earth now rest from their labors awaiting the resurrection. Thank you for the unspeakable comfort of the Holy Eucharist, for where Jesus is present in his true body and blood, we know also there are angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven with us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Nathan Light, Lord, bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen.
The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Countenance upon you and give you peace.